Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 94 of Nerd Pride Radio. 94, the exact number of graphic non-white space characters in ASCII. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing today?
How are you doing?
How are you doing?
I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones, and I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week. The place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my head anymore. And my co-host this week, Prosthetnik Vogon Jeltz. All right. Before we get started with the podcast proper, I should announce that it is Father's Day. And so I have with me three of my four favorite sons. Noah. Say hi, Noah.
Hi.
Aiden. Say hi.
Hi. Eli apparently is over there.
Eli. Eli, no one wants to hear from you. You can stay over there. All right. So anyway.
We're just joking.
We have had an awesome Father's Day weekend. We went out to an elk and buffalo ranch yesterday morning on a scout trip. Then I had to go to a wedding with my wife, which was lovely being out with her and being able to dress up nice and all that. But, you know, it's going to a wedding. And then, afterwards, we all went out for the evening, and we'll get to that later in the show. And otherwise, I got some great gifts this morning. What'd you guys get me?
Pathfinder. I got you a shirt.
Well, you got me the shirt, but also the mug, which is coming.
Oh, look. And for a special nerd time. I'm wearing my...
Nobody can hear you because you're not on mic, but you got to come around the other side.
All right, I'll yell.
So...
No, come around the other side. Where Noah is.
All right.
Fine.
Anyway, for Father's Day, let me explain.
Can I tell them?
I was talking about a book last episode where I couldn't remember the name of the book, but it was a book that I read when I was in first grade, and it was about kids on the moon, and they got trapped in the cave, and there was this weird plant and all this stuff. And it turns out that my wife correctly identified that book as being The Lotus Caves is the name of the book. And Noah went out and bought me The Lotus Caves for Father's Day. So I will be reading that, and I'm really, really excited about it. Eli, what'd you get? What'd you get me for Father's Day?
Pathfinder.
Yeah, he got me the Pathfinder... the monster codex. So like the NPC codex, but now it's for monsters. Oh, I've been reading through it all day. Looks cooler than crap. Aiden.
Does crap look that cool?
Aiden got me, a new shirt, which he gave to me early so I could wear it to the wedding yesterday because I didn't have anything else to wear. And.
You had absolutely nothing to wear.
Nothing to wear. If anyone saw it on my Facebook page, my Darth Vader mug that I normally drink coffee from at work has broken, and it's still usable, but the base is broken. And so I was commenting on how sweet it would be to get the really cool Die 20 mug from Think Geek, and unfortunately they were out of stock. Well, it turns out, like 2 days later, they came back in stock, and my wife and Aiden ordered them, or ordered one for me, so I will be getting that mug. So, super happy. I'll get pictures when it comes up. Eli's leaving. That's okay. You'll be fine. So... Oh, yeah, and of course I got a new NanoBlock set. I got the Sydney Opera House, so that'll be cool, too. I should post up pictures of my NanoBlock collection, because I have got a ton of them now. I've told you guys. I'll post those up. Anyway, Father's Day weekend, it's going really well. Yes, Aiden.
How'd you break your mug in the first place?
I am clumsy and I knocked it off my desk. Oh, okay. That happens a lot. Okay. But anyway, before we get into the podcast proper, guess what? That's right, apparently we got a little feedback. And this feedback was on the Facebook page, and it comes from my mom.
My mom said,
thank you for setting up my phone with your Nerd Pride radio app. I actually just gave her Pocket Casts and then put Nerd Pride on it. And she continues with, I've just finished what I did on my summer vacation and loved it. Of course you did. It was all about you guys, because you guys are awesome. And she says, thank you. I'll listen to them all from now on, so only say nice things about your mom from now on. So I know you guys are used to hearing me rag about my mom every other episode. That's all coming to an end now, because she's listening. So, shh, don't tell her. Okay, we're all good. Now it is time for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me, and apparently my sons now, because they're with me, where I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. Anything that strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod, and then the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
You lucky dogs.
You lucky dogs. All right. And actually, we're not even using the pocket mod this week because pretty much everything we're talking about comes from the last day and a half of the Father's Day weekend. So you're just going to have to listen to everything we came up with. So, hey, I was practicing my vocal fry. Don't make fun of me. So, first up on the master list, it's our gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, card games, any games, actually. If it fits on my gaming table, I'm here to share it with you. All right. We played Settlers of Catan for the first time.
Hey, Dad.
Ask me. Ask you what?
Do you got any logs?
Yeah, you got any lumber?
Yeah, you got any lumber?
How about sheep?
I got bricks.
The entire game, Noah just had bricks. All right.
I was wearing 20 bricks.
Every time. Hey, you got any lumber? You got any coal? No. I got bricks. All right. So, we played Settlers of Catan, which we have owned, by the way, for probably 2 years. And just never got around to playing it. We kept saying we would.
It's kind of somebody builds the map first and...
And you know why that's important? Because who built the map for us this time?
Me.
Noah built our map. All right.
It was the starter's map.
Here's the thing you need to know, Noah. Stop. It's all right. All right. What Noah needs to know before we continue this discussion is I understand that every single one of you out there who is listening to this has already played Settlers of Catan. I understand that everybody I know, everyone in my circle of friends, all of you have played Settlers of Catan before, and you're just amazed that it took me this long to finally get to it. I know that. So I'm not going to explain how the game works very much, simply because I know you guys already all know this. But man, we had a good time with it. I mean, it was really great. Yeah, Noah sat down and we just used... Yeah, you know, since it was our first game, we followed their recommendations. We just played with the beginner board right out of the book. Because, all right, I guess I will explain a little bit. The map comes with 19 hexagon tiles. You arrange the hexagon tiles in a larger hexagon. Each one has different resources on it. And the game is all about building towns and settlements, they call them, settlements and roads, trying to capture good spaces to get more resources so that you can build more stuff. And whoever builds up to 10 points worth of stuff first wins. Nice and easy. And it's actually
a robber.
And there is a robber who takes your stuff when you get too rich.
Then if you have 7 resources, he takes 3.
Darn right. That actually happened a lot. And we wound up playing.
If you have a knight card, you get to move the robber anywhere. So we usually just took down Dad's wheat supplies.
As you can tell, Noah loved this game. Yeah, Noah put together the board for us based on the beginner setup. We played out a basic game, took us a couple hours. It would have gone faster, you know, if we had known the rules, but we caught on pretty quick. And here was the thing that I really, really liked about it, is all four of us played. It was me, Aiden, Eli, Noah. Eli won.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah, Eli's sitting over there going, well, of course I won.
I'm not bragging. I don't brag.
Whatever. Quit rubbing
brag,
it in.
You big losers.
So, but here was the thing that I found really fascinating about it is all four of us played. The younger guys caught on just as well as we did. Everything went really smoothly. And we all played different strategies. Eli's strategy was just to powerhouse his way through it. He was going to build, he built settlements and turned them into cities as quickly as he could. And it was settlement city, and just powered through until literally he had 10 points worth of settlements and cities. That's all he did. All right. Whereas I went a sneakier tack and I built the longest road and I was shooting for longest army. God, if I ever could have gotten largest army, I would have won the game. All right. That was my tactic, because I was going for, I mean, I had the cities and settlements, and I had some cards, and I...
But didn't have the men.
Oh, I just couldn't quite get there. Whereas Aiden was working on, his entire strategy was built around, he just wanted to get development cards. He was trying to get development cards to get the extra points, get the armies, get the... So we were all working... Oh, and Noah's strategy was to collect bricks, apparently.
Bricks and rocks, this whole thing.
And
bricks and stones will break your bones, but words I'll never use.
So, oh, hold on. I have a phone ringing somewhere. Where is that? Okay, that call took longer than we thought. Anyway, the point is, we had a great time playing Settlers of Catan, and I know you guys have all already played, and you're wondering what took us so long. I don't know. Every time we had time to play games, we always had something else that we also wanted to play at the same time. So, we finally got around to it this time, and now, of course, that means that I didn't play the D&D version Castle Ravenloft board game. But we'll be getting to that one soon. I broke that one out, and the pieces are cool, and the board is super cool, and I've been reading up on it, but boy, that one's complex. So we will be getting to Castle Ravenloft. But for now, Settlers of Catan was great. And as long as we're at the gaming table, just real quick, Pathfinder news. My character, Dothan, just finally bought the boots of striding and leaping that I have always wanted. I've always wanted to have a character. Always wanted to have a character with boots of striding and leaping. Well, guess what? Now I do. I don't know how well they'll work. I don't know how much use they'll be of to me. There we go. That was proper English. I have no clue. But I'm so excited to have my boots of striding and leaping. So there we go. And that's the end of the gaming table. Do you have something else to add, Noah?
And speaking of Pathfinder, the Black Scale Guild's about to get ready to fight.
Yeah, they know that. They know that. Except we've been sitting on the same cliffhanger for more than that.
Our characters are probably thinking, where's our guys?
I just imagine them just standing around for the time it takes us to get back to flying.
Yeah, it's probably been 6 months. And again, today, we were going to play some Pathfinder today, but we said, you know what? Let's do something new, especially if we're going to share it on the podcast. Let's go play Settlers of Catan.
Well, and, we play D&D after this.
You mean Pathfinder?
Yeah, Pathfinder.
We'll think about it. Yeah, exactly. So, watch this. I'm going to promise them we'll play, but then we won't play. All right, ready? Hold on. Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that. As soon as we're done recording, Pathfinder for everybody.
I'll remind you every 5 seconds.
He really will. Although, actually, we maybe could, because, you know, it's summer vacation.
Hey, remember, Pathfinder?
They don't have to go to school today or tomorrow. So I've got to go to work, but what do I need sleep for? All right. Anyway, that's the end of the gaming table. Next up, it's my science corner.
Ooh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Okay, on the science corner, this week, we went out last night, and on our way home, we were driving home at 2:30 in the morning, and Eli and cousin Zach fell asleep in the back, but somehow Noah was still awake with us, and we had Aiden up. And our conversation turned to, I don't even know where they came up with it. I don't know why they were talking about it. But the whole concept was, okay, if we had every human being on Earth packed into a phone booth.
Shrunk down first, and then expanded.
Yeah, shrunk down and then expanded. But either way, look, let's just say every person on Earth is packed into a single phone booth.
An unbreakable phone booth.
And Noah had to stipulate that, well, it's got to be an unbreakable phone booth, because, you know, otherwise, obviously, the pressure of all that mass in one tiny little space is obviously going to shatter a normal phone booth. So we've got an unbreakable phone booth with With all, I mean, how many people are on Earth now? 8 billion? What are we up to?
7.3 billion.
Yeah, 7.5 billion people all packed into a phone booth.
7.3 billion!
And the question then arises, okay, so, because they're talking about, you know, if they get packed in there and then, you know, if you're going to release people, if you're going to whatever, we're looking at the effects. So, Aiden's question was, if we then drilled a hole in the top of the phone booth, and I don't know how big a hole, let's say for now it's a dime-sized hole in the top of the phone booth.
Would the pressure be enough to spray that jet into space?
Would, because we're assuming that if we drill a hole in the top of our unbreakable phone booth, assuming we have, you know, an unbreakable drill.
And once that...
Would...
And at that time, everybody in the world would be just a chunky soup.
Inside. A chunky, bony soup.
Chunky soup. No, the bones would be completely gone. It would just be one liquefied mass of human goo. And
delicious.
And so, we all make the assumption that you've got 7 billion people packed in that tiny space and you drill a hole in the top. We assume that you're going to get this ultra-powerful jet of again, human goo, shooting out the top and rocketing towards the sky.
Now, let me explain that Dad came up with this answer last night and has been keeping us on a cliffhanger until now.
Right, right. Because Aiden's question is, would it reach space? And I've got some issues with it because, okay, if we have a dime-sized hole, one of the first things I didn't think about is I'm imagining that the spray coming from it, I'm imagining that spray is coming out as a liquid spray, but then I realized that no, it's an ultra-dense spray because that hole, you're going to have a dime-sized cylinder of ultra-dense material rising up, and it will be rapidly expanding as soon as it is out of the phone booth and there's no longer the pressure. So it'll be, I mean, is it going to be spraying in all directions?
Would we have a large can of human shaving cream?
Right. Would we be creating? Yeah. Would it be like, you know, like a foam being created? Here's my first thought, and this is because I have read enough of the XKCD what ifs. My initial thought is you're going to have this massive jet coming out at probably ultrasonic speeds, and what happens in these what ifs? Because XKCD, I assume you've all been to XKCD.com. You've read the stick figure cartoons. You realize how brilliant the guy is. He also does his what-ifs every Tuesday. He's been on break for a little while because he's putting out a book of what-ifs. He does his what-ifs, and people ask him these bizarre questions of, I think the latest one, since he's been on hold, has something to do with the gravitational attraction of all the spiders on Earth gathered together in a single ball. It's stuff like that. And what happens with a lot of his questions is you wind up with these ultra-dense or especially ultra-fast things. I think that's what we're going to get is this ultra-fast spray, which is also really dense but rapidly expanding. But the thing that I always forget until now is when you've got something moving ultra-fast, that jet, that pillar of human soup shooting out of the top of this phone booth is going to be moving at such rapid speeds that its friction with the atmosphere around it
would cause it to boil and mystify?
Would probably cause it to heat the air around it into a plasma.
Really?
Yeah. That's the part that we're missing out on. So not only is this stuff spraying out, but it's also going to be, I mean, again, you got to remember that core of it is still super dense. I mean, is it neutron star dense? I don't think it's quite that dense, but still, you know, 7.5 billion people in that tiny little space. We've gone beyond normal matter. So, this spray coming up is going to be moving at such fast speeds, it's going to ionize the atmosphere around it. And everything's going to be superheated, and thus not only will the soup be rapidly boiling and expanding at a massive rate, but also the atmosphere around it will be expanding, because of the heat. And with that much energy, I'm guessing we're going to have something on the order of, you know, a multi-megaton nuclear explosion centered around the hole in the top of the unbreakable phone booth.
Well, I'm glad everyone on Earth was already dead.
Right, yeah, no, thank God the devastation will be limited to, well, everything else except humans on Earth. Fortunately, no one will die. That's what I'm saying.
Well, from the explosion.
Right, exactly. That's what
I mean. I mean, the people are the explosion.
Right, but I'm saying the explosion won't kill anybody. So
it would be like,
this is the part where it would require some real calculation, and I don't have that ability, or if I did have that ability, I certainly don't have the inclination or energy, because you know I'm lazy. But yeah, I think what we're going to wind up with is this spray, I doubt it will reach outer space unless the explosion itself is big enough to carry that far, and I don't know that it will be. No idea. But I think what you're going to have is a rapidly expanding cloud of human mist and energy creating a nuclear-type explosion that is going to blast away everything within miles and leave a huge crater underneath the unbreakable phone booth. It's going to be ugly. So, I mean, not that it wasn't ugly to start with.
Because it's human soup.
Because it's human soup. But yeah, I think it's going to be bad. I can't...
You can't say bad when no one dies.
Well, sure you can. What if we decided that we're on Agent Smith's side, and really humanity is just a virus, a plague upon this Earth, and the Earth itself will be better off without us? Then this massive explosion created from
7 billion people in a phone booth.
From the energy of human bodies. See, the computers in the Matrix had it right all along. You certainly can power things with the energy from humans.
Only if they're crammed in a phone booth first.
Well, yes, you have to cram them all in the phone booth. But I'm just saying, you can't say it's not a tragedy if you wind up having the explosion of humans, you know, destroying, you know, making, I don't know, you know, several hundred square miles of the planet completely uninhabitable for a time, killing off how many plants and birds
red.
And animals and insects and,
painting
yes, exactly.
Red.
Well, would it be red? I don't even know. Would, I mean, at this
I'm
point,
more of a pinkish.
At this point, would the ionized cloud of atomized human remains rising into the atmosphere, would it create a sort of nuclear winter that would plunge us into a round of new extinctions? I don't know. I'm just saying, I think it's bad. Now, alright. So, now, let's change the entire scope of all this. Exact same phone booth. Still packed with the exact same 7.5 billion people.
No.
All humans on Earth.
What if we drilled a hole in the bottom?
Exactly where I was going. What if we drilled a hole in the bottom of the phone booth? Okay, well, what happens?
I was going to go, what if we had about medium-sized phone booths strapped onto somebody's back.
minus one guy.
Okay.
I hope
he's sitting off to the side here. I hope his voice came through on that because, again, me and Aiden, we just thought, let's drill the hole in the bottom. Let's watch our phone booth rocket into space, because it certainly would. It would be riding, because it's unbreakable, so it's going to be fine. But it's riding this cloud of ionized atmosphere.
Of an atomic explosion.
Yeah, exactly. This huge nuclear explosion in its wake as it propels itself into orbit and beyond. That's awesome. Okay. But no, Noah wants two half-size phone booths to wear on his back as a jetpack.
Which would instantly vaporize you.
Right. Well, then obviously you're going to have to be in unbreakable spacesuit.
Oxygen.
Or unbreakable.
Oh, well, now you just want, okay, I'm sorry, you can't have a tank full of oxygen and propel yourself that way. No,
it has to be people.
It has to be super compacted humans, I'm sorry.
It's people!
Okay.
No, in the zombie apocalypse, just, I need to get out of here, open to the top of a box, stuffs a bunch of small zombies and closes it.
You can't have just a bunch of them, you have to have so many of them packed in there into your unbreakable container that it's impossible to get that many people in there. I mean, we have to start from an impossible position first. But either way, I think this is brilliant. I am right around in a jetpack powered by compacted human remains. Yep, that's where this podcast has gone. Okay, we're done. We're done. Science Corner is over.
Wait,
no, you can't possibly have more.
What if somebody farted in the phone booth and came back
to him. Okay, yeah, you know what? I think that was actually where this all started first, is talking about packing a bunch of people into a phone booth and then someone farts and how unpleasant that would be. And it just built into, well, how many people can we fit in a phone booth? Well, what if we got everybody in there? And then now we've got 7.5 billion people in there, and Noah's first question, well, yeah, but what if someone farted? Okay, we're done. We're done with the science corner. This one's finished. Everyone. Guys, come on. There's people out here who want to take this seriously.
Just like, okay.
All right, I'm just going to pause it until they can collect themselves. Hold on.
Wait.
Silence! Oh, thank God. Okay. Oh, that was really tough. But now we have finished the gaming table, the Science Corner. Next up, oh yeah, Science Fiction Double Feature. That's right, here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two movie reviews for the same low, low price. Okay, this is where
what
we went
price
last
is
night.
That?
It's free.
Well,
it's
that's
a podcast.
That's not a low price. It's non-existent.
No, it's...
Silence! God, it spiraled out of control again. Okay, so this is where we went last night. For Father's Day, we went to the drive-in movie theater, which is always a double feature. So, by default, we're going to review both of the movies that we saw last night for Father's Day. And the first movie that we saw at the drive-in, well, should I review them in reverse order?
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, let me start with the crappy one first, because that one will go faster.
Yeah, the crappy one was bad.
Alright, the second movie we watched was Pitch Perfect 2, which we only went to see Pitch Perfect 2 because, well, we wanted to see the first movie. So, Pitch Perfect 2, was exactly what you expect. Let me just tell you right now, Elizabeth Banks directed this thing. And she did a good job. It's got a lot of good elements. There's some good comedy inside this movie. There really is. And I know there's doubters out there. I know you're looking at me, but there's some good comedy in it. When they did the a cappella battle towards the beginning, they've got five teams out there, and you gotta understand this movie is a complete and total farce. There's nothing about it that's meant to be taken seriously. It's a movie meant to mock this kind of movie. And in doing that, it does that fairly well, but it was also fairly predictable, and there was a lot of very racist and very sexist humor, which was intended to be ironic. It was intended to come from characters who are idiots, and so therefore we're able to mock them because they are such idiots for having such horrible, horrible views. But in general, it just came off as racist and sexist, and it wasn't, I don't know. It wasn't, to me, a valuable source of humor. But again, the a cappella battle between the five teams was spectacular. We've got our two main teams that you knew about, and then there's this third team that showed up in the last movie. Okay, great, great. Then the fourth team is nothing but a bunch of guys I recognize as stand-up comedians. And they were, there was one of the guys from the state. There was Ron Funches in there. There was And I'm looking at them and I'm seeing their team and they're posturing and I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I get it. This is where this is going. Brilliant. And they were really, really funny. And then the fifth team and the Green Bay Packers. And okay, that's really funny. And I appreciated that scene, even though as funny as that scene was, it was completely nonsensical. There was no reason for it to be in the film. It wasn't, I mean, I understand it's supposed to be a farce. It's supposed to be a parody, but there should still be some logical flow to the movie. I mean, it's, you know, if you want to just do a series of skits and jokes, then do a series of skits and jokes in a different style of movie. This is meant to be a narrative, and the narrative didn't hold together. And, I don't know. Pitch Perfect 2 was just not great. Because I was watching it together with my family while we're at the drive-in theater, I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it all the way through, but I also recognized, bad movie, and if I hadn't seen it in that particular context, would have hated it. Would have just hated it. So, again, Pitch Perfect 2, there's really good comedy in there, but it's not worth watching the whole movie to get it, so you can pass over it, honestly. Alright, that's not the important movie review. The important movie review... No, the first movie we saw last night was...
Pitch Perfect.
No, it wasn't!
I got confused with which one.
Right, because I did them in reverse order.
Inside Out!
We saw Pixar's new Inside Out.
It was also Walt Disney.
Yes, it's a Disney Pixar movie. Yes, absolutely correct. With Amy Poehler in the lead, and it was awesome.
It was spectacular.
You guys, look, Disney Pixar, you know what Pixar can produce, except for Cars. I know. Just skip that one. But other than Cars, Pixar does no wrong, right? So get out there and see it. It was beautiful. It was incredibly funny all the way through. It was beautiful and sweet and touching. And the story was really well crafted.
Riveting.
You understand the concept that it's the story of Riley, who is an 11-year-old girl, and the five emotions inside her head that run. If you ever saw Herman's Head way back, what was that, late? No, it was early 90s. It was the Herman's Head sitcom. It's basically that. It's she's going about her life, and then in her head you get to see the five emotions. It's joy and sadness, fear, disgust, anger. Those are the five primary emotions that are running everything she does. And the way they worked through seeing the internal activity, which got off the wall, silly, crazy at times, but watching that internal activity and how it interacted with her real life, that here's the moment coming up. You see everyone in her head doing whatever they're going to do. And when you see the interactions of them, as crazy as the stuff inside her head is, as funny as all that is, as entertaining as that those scenes are to watch, the results they have and what she does in real life is very human and very realistic. And you feel for her and you completely buy into it. Her story, the real life story of Riley, is very real and very, just very close to home. It's just touching. And then to see all this stuff behind it that is, again, crazy, but still makes sense and motivates what's going on. And plays the psychology of it. It is amazing. But okay, Noah was just about to interrupt me. What Noah wants to talk about is he wants to describe to you some of the scenes from the end. I'll just tell you that there are a couple of places in this movie and then a whole bunch of stuff at the end where you get to see the same set of five emotions, but how they appear inside other people's heads. Every time that comes up, riotous. I could watch a whole 45 minutes of nothing but zooming in on different characters and seeing how their emotions look. Give me a little 30-second vignette of each person and how their emotions interact. It was hysterical. We had such a great time, every one of us. It was just a great, great movie. Pixar is genius. You guys know all that already. So if you haven't gone and seen it, go see it. It's a lot of fun. And if you have a drive-in theater near you and you can go see it on a big screen outdoors, with a bunch of family around you and all the snacks you can smuggle in your car. Oh, that's even better. Do it that way. Oh, look at that. We're making good time, too. So, before we finish up the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, I think the last thing we want to cover is a little bit of Roku. Okay.
But Roku. Not Mike's Roku.
No, that's true. Not my Roku. Roku is the streaming box that we use to watch Hulu Plus and Netflix, mostly Netflix streaming. And I watch YouTube on it and Amazon Prime and all sorts of other stuff. So almost all of my television now, ever since we cut the cord, almost all of my television comes through my Roku box. And so therefore, this is all TV talk. I will do one bit for myself. I will just recommend, this is actually my brother's recommendation. Thank you, Kyle. Speaking of brothers, my other brother brought up a point on Facebook that I was going to share today because I actually have a whole set of show notes arranged for today that I was going to do a bit that my brother Daniel brought to me and I thought was really good on racial issues, and I have a nerd rage that I passed over last week, and I'll get to it
Daniel
next week
listens.
Now. I don't know if Daniel listens or not. He's never said he has. But he was just talking to me on Facebook, and he linked a cool article, and so I had a conversation with him about it, and it was actually really nice. I learned some stuff. And so he's way more informed on race issues than I am. So
I was going to say, isn't he too famous to be listening to you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I also have, this is just a preview for next week, I suppose, because I've got the bit from my brother Daniel. I have got the Nerd Rage that I meant to do last time. And I also have an unnamed history segment from some stuff that I was describing some stuff from the podcast. And my dad said, oh, well, you mean like, and he gave me this whole historical bit. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's brilliant. So
when doesn't Popo have a historical bit?
Oh, God, Popo is always, I mean, he's a storyteller. He's good at
it. Now, let me tell you about the Alamo.
So, look, I'm a VCR. No, this is, I'm sorry, inside joke. That's not fair to you guys.
Kyle, you get it.
This is, no, that's my standard. If my dad is going to give us a lecture about anything, this was maybe back when I was 15, 16, 17. I don't remember. Maybe it was older than that. It doesn't make any difference. The whole point is my dad went into a description. He's trying to explain how the VCR works, because if the VCR is hooked up and it's where the inputs are and where the outputs are, we were trying to figure out why it wasn't working where it was supposed to be. And whoever he was explaining it to, he holds his hands up on beside him, one hand up high, one hand down low, but clearly his hands were intended to represent inputs and outputs. And he's like, okay, now I'm a VCR. And he starts explaining. And to us, the now I'm a VCR line, that's shorthand for Popo's about to explain something really complicated. So, and probably be a little bit patronizing about it, but just a little bit. I mean, just a little tiny bit. So, but it's fun, and we poke fun at it. So, anyway, my dad gave me this great history bit, and I did some research on it, and it's really cool stuff. But I'm just teasing you with that, because right now we're doing Roku.
Well, technically for me, it wouldn't be Wii U.
Well, yeah, that's Wii U, but that's because that's where you watch your stuff. It's my podcast. When you have your podcast.
But it's my Roku segment.
All right, well, then I'll let you say that when you come on.
But I don't want to say that.
For my Roku segment, I'm only going to recommend the TV show Review, which is on Comedy Central, which I normally can't watch anything on Comedy Central because they're still mad at my cable company, and so they won't allow any Comedy Central stuff to come through on my television. Even if it's coming off the internet, they still block it, which I think is somehow really, really wrong. But Hulu Plus, Aiden has no clue. All right, Aiden, here's the deal.
They can do that?
Honestly, Comcast owns, I think it's Comcast, owns Comedy Central and a whole bunch of other people. But whoever owns, maybe it's not Comcast, doesn't matter. Whoever owns all of it's, that's why we don't get Nickelodeon anymore. It's why we don't get Comedy Central. This was one of the deciding factors in why we gave up cable entirely. There's about 15 channels that this company owns, and they couldn't come to an agreement with Cable One. Because Cable One says, look, we only want these three channels. We want Comedy Central, we want Nickelodeon, and we want this other one. And we're willing to pay for those. That's fine. And the other company said, no, 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 our channels all come as a bundle. If you want those three, then you have to pay for all of our channels. And, oh, by the way, we've bumped up our rate per channel, so you're going to have to pay even more for them.
We'll bump it up per channel, even though it's in a bundle.
Right. And so Cable One said, well, yeah, but we don't want to pay that much, for we're really only using these three. And they could never agree on a price, ultimately. And so my cable company has dropped all of those channels, and they act like they're still in negotiations, but they're not. They've just given up, and we're just never going to have Comedy Central here. So if I go to ComedyCentral.com, CC.com is the website, I can see clips of any show. I mean, when Comedy Central offers clips of them and they give you your 2-minute, 3-minute clips, great. But when I click on full episode and I want to go watch a full, like The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail, that's all I want to watch. You know how I love Kumail Nanjiani, right? So I want to go watch The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail. I click on full episodes, episode 1, go. And all that happens is a message that pops up that says, we're sorry, your cable company has chosen not to blah, blah, blah. And they explain why they're not allowed to display. And so and it just occurred to me, it may not be Cable One blocking it from me. It may be Comedy Central or its owner. It may be them choosing not to broadcast full episodes to me, so that I will put more pressure on my cable company. So even though I've cut the cord, they still want to put pressure on the cable company. It could be either side blocking it. It doesn't say who is doing all the blocking, but it makes it sound like my cable company is at fault the way it's phrased. So who knows? Either way, it makes me angry. But I found out that if it's on Hulu Plus, then if it's a show that is part of my Hulu Plus subscription, I'm allowed to watch all of them, even though it is a current show on Comedy Central. I can still watch it on Hulu Plus. And the show Review, Andy Daly is the guy behind it. He stars in it. The show Review is about a dude who has his own TV show where he reviews life experiences. And as my brother said, you watch the first episode and you go, oh, yeah, that's cute. Okay, I get it. I mean, it's, and when I say life experiences, you know, it's like he has people write into him, hey, what's it like to eat 15 pancakes at one sitting? So he'll sit down and eat 15 pancakes at a sitting and then review the experience for you. Hey, what's it like to go to prom? So he found a way to go to prom, and as a 35-year-old dude, he found a way to get himself to prom.
Not creepy at all.
Right, no, it wasn't creepy at all. And then he reviewed the experience. It's stuff like that. All right, so you watch the first episode, and you're like, okay, that's cute. I don't know, you know, I can't see how it's going to be interesting for more than about two or three episodes, but I get the idea. And then the show progresses, and it just gets surreal, and it's great. It is really, really great. It's, you know, 9 or 10 episodes long. They're only 20-minute episodes. You can binge-watch the entire thing in 3.5 hours. It's an evening, and it's really, really good, so I highly recommend that. But this segment isn't about me. This segment's about Aiden and the stuff that he's watched streaming lately, and he's got a couple of reviews, I assume. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. You can move around so you get the mic is all yours.
So my first review would have to be, let's start with the worst of the two, would be Apartment 143. It's a slow movie all the way through with a couple jump scares here and there.
What? Okay, so it's a horror movie.
Yes.
Okay, I'm following you now. Horror movie.
Sorry about that.
I haven't seen Apartment 143.
But so it's extremely slow, boring. Most of it's camera shots where you're hoping something happens, but it doesn't.
And is that to build tension then? That you're sitting there waiting for something to happen, waiting for something to happen,
I mean,
and then nothing happens?
It would be for tension if there was ever a payoff.
Okay.
But the only time it actually ever happens is when you're completely expecting it to happen.
Okay, would you compare it to Paranormal Activities in that way? Because Paranormal Activity spend a lot of time building, and you're watching things, and you're watching things, and you're waiting for something to happen.
I was just about to explain that.
Okay, because Paranormal Activity played it off where sometimes something would, sometimes it wouldn't, and it would play off your expectations, but...
Now, here's the problem I have with that, is Paranormal Activity 1 did it perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paranormal Activity.
But if I compare it to Paranormal Activity 3, it's every time there's supposed to be this suspenseful moment, it always delivers, making it a lot less special.
I understand.
This one has suspense all over the place, like both movies, except it never pays off.
Oh, that's terrible.
So yeah, only the points where you're expecting it does a scare ever happen.
So it's no Blood Glacier, that's what you're saying.
No, well, Blood Glacier I don't think was that kind of movie. But
no, but Blood Glacier was a streaming horror movie that you watched and you loved. And you recommended it to me and I still haven't
Blood Glacier is brilliant. Just like The Entity, not like Devil's Pass.
Okay.
Don't watch Devil's Pass or The Bay.
All right.
Ever.
And the best part of Apartment 143 was the ending?
Oh my. No!
He has to take off his glasses in preparation.
No! Can I give stuff away? Am I allowed to spoiler alert here?
I have no problem with giving a spoiler alert on a movie that you're going to give only one or two stars to.
Yeah.
If you're going to rate this so badly that you don't want them to watch it, you might as well spoil it.
Okay. So, they spend the whole movie saying that there's not really a ghost, it's not really the dead mother, it's just the teenage daughter going through this hormonal change and having all of her stress about her dead mother projected into psychic powers and events. And they finally solve everything, everything's at peace, everyone moves off, everyone has their own happy ending, and at the very end, they leave the one camera up for the police to find so that there's not a whole big legal ordeal about it. And after everyone leaves, you hear the door shut, and you see the camera just sit there for a good 30 seconds, pan up to the ceiling, and across the ceiling, straight at the camera, crawls the dead ghost of the mother. And I'm like, oh, so it was a ghost the entire time? You mean the hour and a half you spent explaining to me how it wasn't a ghost, and it was brilliant? It was really a ghost, and it's now stupid?
Now, when you say brilliant, you mean the storyline, not the delivery.
Right. Like, I'm saying that the theory of how they came about without there being a ghost was brilliant. But then you ruined it in the last literally 10 seconds by having it actually be a ghost. Mm-hmm. That's not like a twist. That's a punch in my groin.
Really? And so Bruce Willis was dead the entire time? Okay.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the ending of The Sixth Sense.
Oh.
This is it. Bruce Willis was dead the entire time. Oh, Snape
kills Dumbledore?
Spoiler alert. I am so sorry. I didn't realize the mic was still on. I feel terrible.
Wait, it's a podcast. How do you not realize the mic is still on?
Okay. So, by the way, have I ever told you guys this story? About how The Sixth Sense was ruined for me. Yeah, Frank DeCaro did it. It was terrible. I was watching him do a year-end review of movies or something like that. It was when he was still on The Daily Show.
Was spoiler alert a thing?
No, this was before that.
Well, then you can't blame him.
And, well, just wait. I certainly can. And this was before John Stewart fired Frank from The Daily Show. And Frank is talking, and just in passing, he mentions that something about, oh yeah, Bruce Willis being a ghost the entire time in The Sixth Sense. And then, after he says it, he looks at the camera and he goes, oh, what? If you haven't seen it by now, that's your fault. Okay. Which, you know, it was, you know, almost a year later. I'll grant that. But I hadn't seen it by that time. So yeah, no, he knew what he was doing. Right. Exactly.
What?
So when I did watch The Sixth Sense, I watched it with my wife, and she wound up really, really liking it, and I watched it and realized, you know, since I knew the twist all the way through the movie, it was really boring. It was just not that exciting when I knew what was going to happen. So,
well, now you've ruined it for me.
Oh, you were never going to watch The Sixth Sense.
It was on my list.
It's a Shyamalan movie. You're really going to watch a Shyamalan movie?
Shyamalan, and yes!
Shyamalama Ding Dong?
It was on my list of good Shyamalan movies before he did The Devil.
Oh, Devil wasn't that bad.
Devil was horrible.
Devil wasn't that bad.
Your twist has to be something that's plausible.
Devil wasn't that bad.
Devil was that bad. Like, look, like, they set up like a murder mystery, except we know it's not a mystery.
Look,
mystery
I'm just saying. Movie. I'm just saying. Look at the outfits. All right, Thundar is clearly okay. All right, we're done.
No, but all I'm saying is that in Devil, you try to set up it as a murder mystery, except you called your movie Devil. We know who the bad guy is.
Right. But we just have to figure out which one it is.
And it was the one that couldn't possibly happen to our knowledge.
Okay.
That's a horrible twist.
Okay.
What a horrible twist!
It's not. It wasn't a great movie, but it wasn't that bad. It was, I guess, look.
It was the horror movie The Room, but in an elevator.
No, look, the audience knows this already. The podcast listeners, you guys have heard me go through this stuff plenty of times before, but they know I am an M. Night apologist.
Apologist?
Yes. Look,
he needs those.
Look, The Sixth Sense I didn't like, but that's because I knew the twist ahead of time. I get why people thought it was brilliant. And then Unbreakable. His best movie ever. I enjoyed Signs when I saw it.
I enjoy Signs still.
The Village. Yeah, okay, we're getting a little weaker, but The Village wasn't, you know, I still enjoyed watching it. And then Lady in the Water. Oh, everyone hated Lady in the Water. I loved it. I loved Lady in the Water. I think it's brilliant. Devil. Devil wasn't bad, I guess. I haven't seen The Happening. So I haven't seen The Happening because it actually wound up being Avatar. Or Last Airbender.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, Mr. Apologist, explain the Airbender.
It wound up being Airbender that ruined Shyamalan for me. So I haven't gone back to watch The Happening because that was universally panned. And Marky Mark was phoning it in. And it's the trees! So, oh yeah, there, by the way, spoiler alert, it was the trees.
You had to say spoiler alert before your spoiler. So people can mute it. And
no, we don't give fair warning when it's a really, really bad movie.
Snape kills Dumbledore!
Yeah, see, like that one.
Spoiler alert!
Terrible movie. So,
we just lost half of our fan base right there.
Whoa. Our fan base?
Well, I'm here now.
Our?
I'm here now. I've been here. I've been here for you the entire
time. You are eye candy. Okay.
You mean ear candy?
You are my lovely assistant. You're the
I've got a face for radio.
No, you're the eye candy that draws in the listeners because they see your
ear candy. I gotta keep correcting you here.
They hear your handsome face, and they're like, oh, that's intriguing. All right, but then they stay for the substance that is me.
You got a whole lot of substance, I'll tell you that.
Bad joke. Classy. All right, we are now, I said we had plenty of time, now we're way over time. Do you want to do the others?
Yeah, the others, I'll keep it brief. It was slow, and I didn't understand what was going on until the last 10 seconds. It was slow, and I didn't like it until the last 10 seconds. Then it became brilliant. Opposite of Apartment 143.
Yeah, and to agree with him, when Lisa and I saw the others years ago, and I can't remember if we saw it in the theater.
Yeah, you saw it in the theater.
And yeah, we also loved it. We didn't see the ending coming. We were completely caught off guard.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
I literally had the physical emotion of being punched in the face. What?
Yeah. See? But if I say any more about it, if you haven't seen the others yet,
go watch the others.
If you don't know what it's about and what happens, then go watch the others. But again, you know, if I say anything more, I'll give stuff away. So I won't do that.
There's not stuff to give away. There's thing to give away.
Yeah. Don't want to go any further. So that is the end of the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast.
Is it time? Is it time for the?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Is it time for the automatic? Those soundbites hate me.
Holy blueberries! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be, and I haven't been getting new Pod-O-Matic entries for a while. I mean, they've been trickling in, like, my kids, just before we sat down to record today. They started rattling off a bunch of them, so we entered, you know, like 5 or 6 new ones from them. But let me take a look at the list.
Don't resort them.
I already did.
Fine.
Let me take a look at the list. I now have, oh my goodness, people, I have exactly 108 Pod-O-Matics. So I am eight into the black, and that's it. So after today's podcast...
We can only roll the same number 9 times today.
That's right. So after today... we're going to be a little bit short. So, send them in, guys. You guys have always been good to me in the past. You've always saved my bacon at the last minute. I appreciate that.
You should start accepting Pod-O-Matics on Facebook and Twitter.
I will accept Pod-O-Matics anywhere they send them in. I don't check Twitter as often as I used to because I'm still mad at Twitter. You know what? I'm mad at Twitter for not being Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, because I have to do...
How dare you, Aiden? How dare you not be Jacob?
Well, I have to do a lot more work to get the relevant stuff to the top on Twitter, because it just comes out in chronological order, which means that if you want to announce stuff to people, most people have found that, okay, I have to come up with a clever way. If I've got, you know, something I'm releasing or some new show coming out or something I need to announce to everybody, I need to find a clever way to make that announcement 7 or 8 times over the course of a couple of days, because otherwise, if I just make the announcement once, a lot of people will wind up missing it. So I need to make the announcement several times, so hopefully it passes through their feed at the time that they're looking at it. And, you know, unless you've got those, you know, really loyal followers who have you set up. They're set to be notified anytime your stuff comes through. And there are some people that, you know, your favorites. You know, you can set up favorites that, oh yeah, just send me a notification every time I get stuff from these. Those are the ones I want to see. Okay, but other than those loyal diehard fans, most people...
Do we have diehard fans who watch? Great movie.
Yes. Other than those, Twitter, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. It's not as much fun for me. Whereas Facebook, people have been interacting on Facebook. I get the notifications right away. All the relevant stuff comes to the top. There's ways to manipulate Facebook so that it works better for you. I enjoy Facebook. So, at least for the podcast, it's been great for me lately. So yeah, but if you wanna send them to me in a direct message on Twitter, if you wanna send it to me in a private message on Facebook, private message on my forums, email, if you have my phone number and you just wanna call me or text message me with them, if you're one of those lucky few, I don't care. Go for it. I will take your questions any way you send them in. So thank you for your contributions so far. I'm glad you guys will keep doing it. After all of that explanation, number 71. Number 71 is from, let's see, oh, there it is. 71 is from Stan. Stan says, how do you feel about Elvis?
Elvis the pelvis? Come on.
He means Elvis Costello.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
I got no problem with Elvis. I like Elvis. I like some of Elvis's songs, and I don't like most. I mean, look, it's, you know, he's from a particular era, and he's got a handful of songs I really like, and then the rest of it I could care less about. As a performer, he had that, I keep wanting to say hard life, but that maybe that's not exactly accurate. But the idea that, yeah, he had his drug addiction at the end, and he was driven to excess, and he didn't have enough controls on his life. He didn't have enough people supporting him and guiding him and giving him good advice on how he needs to do things. But on the other hand, I mean, have you ever watched his special from the 70s, his comeback special, when he's out there in the black leather, and he's just performing acoustically, kind of to a crowd in the round there? And watch that special. If you ever get a chance, watch his 70s comeback special. The man is so charismatic. You watch that one and you realize, oh, that is what made him a superstar. That is why people loved him so much. I mean, here's a guy, he didn't write his own songs. He didn't write his own lyrics. He was a performer, and he took other people's stuff. He took stuff that was written for him, and he performed the hell out of it. And he was a megastar because he had so much charisma. It's just unbelievable. He's an amazing dude, was an amazing dude. And yes, he was troubled, and he was maybe not the nicest guy in the world, and there's all sorts of things wrong with Elvis. I'll grant you that. But I also understand why he was as big as he was. It's because of all the peanut butter and banana sandwiches. He did eat peanut butter. No, it was a peanut butter and banana, peanut butter and marshmallow. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. He really didn't eat well. But no, I understand why he was such a huge star. It's because he was just charismatic, charming, powerful. He was a great performer. So, you know, I'll give him props give props to him for that. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, I'm not a huge Elvis fan, but I'm also, I got nothing against Elvis. There you go. 51. 51 is from, maybe I shouldn't give it that exciting action hero voice before I find out actually what it is.
In a world where number 51 is rolled.
It's from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, what are your 10 commandments of gaming? 10 commandments. All right. 1.
Don't be a dick.
You don't talk about Fight Club. 2. You don't talk about Fight Club. No.
3. There is a
reason. Actually, Aiden has hit on number 1. Actually, right away. He is not wrong at all. Will Wheaton is dead on with this one. Your first rule in life in general, don't be a dick. I mean, really, don't be a dick. Be nice to people. I mean, you know, 10 Commandments of Gaming, most of it is about interpersonal relationships, and it's the same advice you give for life is, you know, treat others respectfully. But, you know, you want 10 Commandments, I gotta sit down and do research for that one.
I can give you 3.
Okay, go ahead, give us 3.
I was impersonating you. I don't actually have 3.
Oh, damn it.
I do number 2 of video gaming. If you come to a party, bring your own peripherals.
All right. Ignore him. All right. The 10 commandments of gaming, in no particular order, is 1, don't be a dick. 2, come prepared. Okay? Even if all you need is your character sheet and some dice, make sure you have your character sheet and some dice. Don't show up expecting to borrow stuff from other people. I mean, like, it happens once in a while. We all do our best, but every once in a while it happens. But you know what? Especially as a player, I mean, I'm just assuming you're not even the Dungeon Master. As a player, the demands on you are relatively low. You know what? You show up, you have your character sheet, you have your dice, maybe a pencil. That's it. That's all you really need to do, and then just be there. Now, but also, let's also remember, anything other than point number one, all the rest of them generally fall under the subheadings of don't be a dick. I mean, these are all just...
Commandment number 1A.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Show up prepared. Number two, and this one is... Or three at this point. This is tough, but be engaged. And this is really hard because sometimes...
Make sure you bring your fiance, too.
Because sometimes it is the Game Master's fault when we are... Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Sometimes it's the Game Master's fault that you know, we're running this game and we're focusing on this character over here or this side quest over here, and it leaves nothing to do for three of the other players, nothing to do for half an hour at a time. It's tough to remain engaged when this is not about you, and in fact, the stuff going on is stuff that your character isn't even supposed to know. So sometimes it's not your fault, but remain engaged. When we played Shadowrun goes around the table, and, you know, as you're playing it out, the combat moves lightning fast in... Noah's asking if we need him. You can keep playing. You can go do whatever you want. If you would like to come out, we're doing Podomatics. You can certainly join us if you'd like. No thanks, he says. Good. Off he goes. So, when we play around the table for Shadowrun, again, combat in the game is lightning fast. I mean, combat is, you know, in game time. 15 seconds is a long combat, and then suddenly the floor is littered with dead bodies. But that 15 seconds may wind up taking 2.5 hours to play around the table. And what'll happen is, you know, we had a group with 6 guys in it. Well, you go around and, okay, what are you going to do? All right, I'm going to move up these, you know, 4 squares, and then I will have my machine gun out. I'm going to get off 6 shots. I'm going to, all right, there is so much dice going on in Shadowrun, at least in Shadowrun 2, which is what we were playing. I mean, so many dice coming out on the table and so much counting and figuring out damage and resistance and everything else that goes along with it, that it could be, you know, you take your move, and now it could be a good 15, 20 minutes before it gets back to you taking an action. And so for that intervening 15, 20 minutes or even longer, you need to be engaged. You need to be paying attention and caring what the other people are doing because it's all relevant to you as part of the story. But it is very easy, and especially when we played back then, it was very easy for some of the players to just kind of drift off. Darren would start lighting things on fire and melting down cups and,
terrible friends.
Darren was kind of a firebug.
Got bored, he lit crap on fire.
His greatest creation is, he had a lighter that died, and so he took
He lit a lighter on fire?
Better. He had a lighter that died, so he took another lighter, and he melted the bottom off the first lighter. I mean, just burned the bottom of the first lighter until it melted, like liquid bubbly plastic. Which, oh, by the way, was also kind of dangerous, because more than kind of dangerous, when the plastic gets bubbly and liquidy, the butane reservoir inside finally breaks through, and oh yeah, even though it's a dead lighter, yeah, there's still some butane in there that keeps bursting and popping out in little bursts of flame. It could have been really bad, but anyway, he melted the whole bottom of the lighter. Once it got liquid and bubbly and gooey, he then stuck it to the lighter that was still working.
Like to the bottom or to the side?
Just to the side. So we had one regular old, you know, oval cylinder type Bic lighter, with another lighter of a different color just kind of growing out of the side of it like a mutant head. And it became the mutant lighter. And that's what we kept on the coffee table, and that's what everyone used to light things with. And so we had the mutant lighter there. Well, every time someone had a lighter die, it got added to the ball of lighters. And then especially difficult was when the core lighter of the mutant lighter itself would die. Well, now you have to, with everything else already glommed onto it, you have to melt You have to melt that one and find some way to stick it to a new lighter that's been brought into the mix. And we, I mean, eventually we must have had, you know, 15 or 17 lighters all in this branching ball thing. And it was always funny to watch someone, even people who knew, yeah, even people who knew what was going on, picking it up, and you have to puzzle it out as you look through to see, okay, which one is intact? Where's the good? Oh, there it is. Click, 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 click. That was Darren who inspired that, and then we all carried it forward.
Trying different lighters as we go along.
Oh, God, that's funny. So, yeah, again, it is difficult to stay engaged. I get that sometimes, but you have to stay engaged. Nothing worse as a game master than coming around. And, I mean, again, we're just playing a Shadowrun combat. It's not like, you know, they're all there in the same room. They're all in the same fight at the same table. And I come all the way around the room and, okay, what are you going to do? Oh, I don't know. Who just went? What's going on? Is it? No, come on. Be present for me. That's what I need. There's all sorts of other stuff, but you get the idea. Most of it is just being polite and,
Be a dick.
Yeah. You know, if snacks are being brought, make sure that you contribute sometimes. You know, don't be a dick. It's, you know, things like that. It basic human etiquette.
Sorry we couldn't give you 10.
But... Yeah, exactly. I could come up with 10 eventually, but even if I had, you know, days to think about it and I was writing up a full article for the 10 Commandments of Gaming to publish somewhere, the last three would still be stuff that I'm just faking, because really, don't be a dick summed up most of it, and then the first five gave all the explanation we needed, so that would be it. Oh, we're saved. 19. 19 is from? Oh, it's from my wife. It's from Lisa. Lisa says, oh, I think I've answered one like this before. I'm not sure. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Isn't right here good enough?
God, no. Oh. Anything to get away from you.
Oh.
Okay, Aiden, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Just going to throw me into the bus like this?
Well, yeah, better than me.
Oh, well, I guess if someone can get ran over, it might as well be your son.
Right, well, except, you, again, come around where we can hear you.
Ugh.
All right, so, Aiden.
Making me participate.
Aiden, you've got free tickets to go anywhere you want in the world and take a week-long vacation.
I don't think planes work like that, but...
Where do you want to go?
Probably Ireland.
Yeah, see, Ireland is high on my list. I have answered this question before.
I've always admired Ireland.
To me, it's because I'm a monolinguist and a coward. anywhere interesting in the world where the primary language is English. That's going to be my first thought. And also anywhere that doesn't seem too dangerous.
I'm mono and a half-lingual.
Yeah, not
I speak
even.
Enough Spanish to work at a movie theater.
Oh, that's true. You do. Because I would love to go to Ireland because, you know, Ireland, look, Ireland is part of the British Isles. That's as safe as you get traveling around the world. They stomped out not only all major predators, but all minor predators. There's nothing dangerous in Ireland or in England. I mean, other than.
And even if there is, they're drunk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, honestly, wandering alone at night and being accosted by thugs and alcoholics and whatever else, that might be the worst danger, and you can get that in any
big... I'm sorry, that was racist, I'm sorry.
No, you can get that in any big country, or any big city in this country. I mean, you can get...
I was just saying the whole drunk bit.
Right, I'm saying drunk Irishmen are everywhere, that's what I'm saying. Is that... oh, wait, no, that was... Okay, I get where you're going. Okay, I'm sorry, yeah, he's right, that was racist. but also, actually, if I could go anywhere in the world... Where's
Ebola at right now?
You want to go to Ebola?
Yeah.
I've heard it's nice this time of year. I was going to build into something where I was going to say Gen Con, but I think the question says, yeah, if you can go anywhere. Oh, it doesn't say right now. Yeah. Look, I love going to Gen Con. That's where I want to go.
Going to Gen Con.
I know, we are going to Gen Con. Actually, where I really want to go, and it's getting to where the event is getting so huge and so commercialized that maybe becoming difficult to go there and have the same experience that you're dreaming it might be.
Comic-Con?
I would love
to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, I know. And the Halseys went to Comic-Con. And, I'm so jealous. That would be, right now, Gen Con is the thing I'm doing with the boys. So I took Jacob when he turned 16. Aiden's 17 now. He's going with me.
Jerk.
Eli and, well, hey, I would have taken you at 16, but it was during school.
And?
Eli and Noah will get their turns, but at some point, I want to take Lisa. I want just my wife and I, just the two of us, to be able to go to Comic-Con together and have a good time, because she would love Comic-Con. She would not, I mean, I think she'd enjoy Gen Con, but not, you know, mostly because I'm enjoying it and because, you know, we'd spend time together. But Comic-Con, she would enjoy simply for the event itself. She would love being there. I would love being there. I want to do Comic-Con with my wife. That's, but, oh, and this is, and since this is the question that my wife asked, I am in no way just sitting here kissing ass. I'm being absolutely sincere about this.
And I love her so much.
She is so pretty.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, R2 says enough of that crap. Number 78.
Would you guys just shut up?
That's exactly what R2 sounds like. Number 78. Oh, it's from Mrs. Darks again. All right. Mrs. Darks says, name tags at meetings, useful or pointless?
Pointless.
Useful.
What?
I love name tags at meetings.
Okay, sure, you get to know a person's name, but I'm not going to be engaged in a conversation in a business meeting.
You never know. And here's the deal. Name tags? I like name tags in lots of situations. When we played our Murder Under the Big Top game, everybody wore a name tag with their character's name on it. Yes, meetings is one thing, but yes, I've been in plenty of meetings where I wish everyone had a name tag, because I get introduced to six guys I've never met before, and guys could be men or women. I'm sorry, that was sexist.
you like six guys at once?
Well, in fact, in the industry I work in, there are more women than men in the healthcare industry in the area where I work. So, it's more often women. But, you get introduced to six people at the beginning of the meeting, and then halfway through, yeah, I can't remember all of them. I would love to have name tags. I think it's great. But I also love the idea of name tags for gaming. I love the idea of having, because if everyone's got a name tag while you're gaming, you've got your character's name right on you or somewhere easily visible. In fact, when I designed the Boy Scout horror game that I play, I have
Terror Camp Pinewood?
Terror at Camp Pinewood. Heck yeah. See, my boy loves me. The character sheets are designed so that you have your character sheet laid out in front of you, but then the front edge of the character sheet folds up and makes a little tent at the front so that you're looking at your main portion of your character sheet. Yes, tents. That's right. I'm sorry. That sounds like it was pretty intense. That joke was old when it was used on Charles in Charge. So,
what's Charles in Charge?
What? Scott Baio's solo sitcom vehicle after Joni Loves Chachi?
What's Joni Loves Chachi?
There's so many things I just said in that sentence that you have no idea what they are. Okay.
You're old.
Yeah. So, who's Scott Baio? What's Joni Loves Chachi? What, Happy Days? What? Oh! All right, if we follow this...
Happy Days I got.
Right, I was going to say, if we followed this chain backwards, once I got to the Fonz, you'd go, oh, okay, old stupid crap, I get it.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Grayhair.
Anyway, the character sheets for Terror at Camp Pinewood actually involve folding it such that the front of your character sheet is visible to all the other players, and it has the name of your character and, like, three or four relevant bytes of information, stats that other people might use during play in order to pick on your character or help your character. But I think the idea of having your character name on a tag or easily visible for everyone is super helpful, because it encourages people to refer to you by your character name instead of your player name. Especially, look, a game like Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, anything in an exotic fantasy setting, everyone has these bizarre names that, you know, it's not how, like, having to remember that, okay, so your character name is Chuck. You know, it's these long, complicated names that it takes a while to remember them. And so during the game, it's so easy just to call them by their player name, because you can't remember what all their character names are. This is why when we play Roll20, when we're playing Pathfinder on Roll20, all of us sign in as our character name. So even though we all know who everybody is, you know, I know that Lucy is playing Dwayne. I know that Eliahad is playing Ilion. I know who they are behind the name.
Eliahad and Ilion, those are oddly similar.
Yeah, well, it's his naming style. So I understand who everybody is, but the name I see on the screen is their actual character name. And so that's what everyone refers to everybody by character name almost exclusively during the games. And it's awesome that way. It makes it more immersive, makes the game library. And you didn't ask about name tags during role-playing games, but I'll tell you, that thing is awesome. And the same sort of concepts apply to meetings. The idea of having that handy reminder when you've got a whole list of names that you're not going to easily remember. Oh, I love it. I don't have the best memory for that sort of stuff. I have a good memory for some things, but the things I have a good memory for are things that immediately interest me. And remembering your name is not something that immediately interests me. It just never is. So, God darn it, Aiden, I wasn't done babbling.
Havering.
Thank you. 24. 24 is, and this is going to have to be the last one. There's only five of them, but we've babbled on so long.
Havered.
That
I'm Aiden. I'm a pedantic castle.
So, we're going to end on Ronster, and Ron says, you are a pastry chef in a competition to find the newest, most delicious filling that has ever been tried in a filled donut before.
Well, I go out in the first round because I cracked as a Gordon Ramsay, so.
What filling will you use? The world is waiting. Mike Jones.
Pressurized, human remains.
Yes, 7 billion human beings compressed into a donut.
And then one of them farts.
Whoa. He wants delicious.
Pressurized human remains.
No, that's right. The flavor explodes in your mouth.
And kills everyone.
They're all already dead.
Wait, then who's there to eat the donut?
So, if I had to have a filled donut that's not my traditional, because there's Bavarian cream, there's jelly filled, which is usually raspberry, although sometimes you can get cherry filled, there's lemon, there's just whipped cream or just frosting filled. Oh, those are nasty. What?
Blended and moisturized, like chocolate chip muffin. That would be good inside of that.
Oh. Yeah, you know what? You're right. I would actually say, I say fill it with cookie dough.
See, that was my first thought. I'm like, well, wouldn't cookie dough be a little too thick to be inside a donut and then the consistency would be off?
You're right. But some sort of
blended and moisturized kind of, so it's like that soft, like.
Well, okay. How about, it's almost like some kind of like a cross between, somewhere in between, cookie dough, and, like cake batter.
Brownies.
Somewhere.
Brownies inside a donut.
Oh, man. You know what? Or we just do away with the donut and just have some brownies. Brownies
dude.
Are awesome.
Dude.
That is great.
I got a donut filled with brownie minus the donut. You want some?
All right. Something. Cookie dough or batter related, but like thick. Yeah. So oh man, that's already sounding really good.
I'm hungry.
Sucker for unhealthy donuts.
I just ate and now I'm hungry again.
That's all right. One more.
Dad, I think you're addicted to pods.
I am, dude. I can't help it. I love this podcast. All right, 50 is going to be from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, "What is your favorite young reader book?" Meaning under age 6.
Ooh, me.
Now,
pick me.
Let me just
I'm over here.
Let me just remind you. I read The Lotus Caves, which is a 288-page sci-fi novel. I read that when I was 6. So I'm really not the best judge, probably. But
pick
okay, what do you got?
Me, The Missing Piece.
The Missing Piece is pretty damn good. You're right.
I love The Missing Piece. It's up there in my shelf of awesome books right next to my manga.
That's okay. All right, Missing Piece. That is a great one. Can I come up with something better than The Missing Piece?
No.
No. Look. You know what? I love The Hungry Thing.
Oh, The Hungry Thing.
See? Okay, actually, I am a good one to ask for this one because I love The Hungry Thing. It is.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The Hungry Thing. If you've never read The Hungry Thing, The Hungry Thing winds up in town, and
he has a horrible speech impediment.
Yeah, and he keeps asking for food, and then the poor townspeople are trying to feed him, but he asks for schman cakes, And the townspeople then go, what, schman cakes? Sounds like flan cakes. Sounds like pancakes. And then they get him some pancakes and he's happy. And then we pick another food that he gives some horrible rhyme and
rookies.
What? Yeah. The thing I love about the hungry thing is when you read it to little kids, because I used to go and read to the kindergarten class all the time at my wife's school. I would come in once a month and I would pick a book to read. And, usually Lisa would help me pick a book to read and then I would go read to them.
Now we're going to read the Iliad.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Our hero of our story is called Ulysses. Let's, all right.
Then Scylla and Charybdis came along and
all right.
killed everybody.
So, the hungry thing is one that with a group of kindergartners, all it takes is the first time, second time, and now they're into it. And so every time he asks for something, whatever that rhyming word is, you can see the entire class lights up because they all get it now, and they all feel so smart because they can predict what food that the, because when he comes in and asks for schman cakes, they're all so excited because they've figured out the secret and they know it's really pancakes. And they feel so smart because they know nobody else in the room has got it. Just them. And it's a fun book to read because they get so excited about it. I've never had a reading of The Hungry Thing where anyone was disappointed. They
love it. I miss
back
in the days when you used to read to us when we went to bed.
You want me to read to you when we go to bed tonight?
Yes.
All right. Tell you what then, right before bed, I will go find Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
And jump off a bridge.
We'll read a couple of chapters.
You know what? If you're reading it to me, I would love to listen.
All right, we will do that tonight for Father's Day. It'll be awesome.
All right.
So that's a good one. Although,
retract my earlier statement. Don't jump off a bridge.
Okay. there's lots of other books. Another one that I've used because my wife has a giant size copy of it. It's like
my wife has a giant collection of books.
Right. A giant size copy, like a 3 foot tall copy of King Bidgood's in the Bathtub. And that one's a great one.
If I didn't know any better.
Look, the whole point is King Bidgood's in the bathtub and he won't get out. And so they send people in to try and get him to get out of the tub and he won't get out.
Is he really fat?
Oh, yeah. He's a big old fat king and he's in the tub and
is he stuck in the tub?
And so they send in people to King Bidgood, come on. There's a feast out here. And he says, well, tonight we feast in the tub. And then it shows all the people gathered around his tub and the whole area is just covered in food and
all
people are
balanced on his stomach.
Yeah. And, and so then his generals come in and King Bidgood, we have to go, we have to battle. And he says, well, tonight we battle in the tub. And now it shows this poor general is in full armor sitting in the other end of the tub, soaking wet in his full suit of armor. And King Bidgood is sloshing around with his battleships and all of his stuff inside the tub. And it is a beautiful book. I can't remember who does the illustrations. It was a Wood? Is that, it's a couple whose last name is Wood, I think. Don and Audra Wood, maybe, something like that. And one of them writes it, and one of them does the illustrations. And it's a simple story, but the
Birch and Rowan?
It's one of those where the illustrations are gorgeous, and it's so much fun. But there's a ton of really entertaining books for little kids. But The Hungry Thing is still my all-time favorite. It is one that, we get introduced to new stuff, and we try them out. What's the, the Munch books. Anything by, what's Munch's first name? Robert Munch? Oh, he does Stephanie's Ponytail, and he does, what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah!
Anything by Munch.
Is Kindergarten? Is that one of his?
No, Mrs. Bindergarten's.
No, We Share Everything.
Oh, yeah, We Share Everything is one of his. Yeah, this is Kindergarten.
And We Share Everything.
The Munch books are really good because it usually involves children who are super clever and wind up putting one over on the adults twisting things around so that the adults are being punished by their own words, but in a cute way. And it is, Munch books are really, really fun. There's lots of good stuff. But again, The Hungry Thing is my perennial favorite. It's the one I keep coming back to over and over, and I love that one too. So there you go. That was a great question because I didn't realize I had so much to say on the topic.
I'm blocking it, so you don't press it.
He saw me eyeing R2, and he knows me well enough to know he needs to cover it so I don't go pressing on again. So
we need a little glass case over R2, so when you need to.
We've done the meticulously plotted portion. That's right. I've been drinking.
I'm sorry. You're wearing the voice scrambler again.
That's right. And we did the Potomatic. So the only thing left before the credits is to bring out GLaDOS. Howard, give us a recap of the episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you. That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, Weezer's in the Garage. She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. And that's it. All these songs are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them on my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to get your very own pocket mod, just like my handy-dandy pocket mod, go over to pocketmod.com. It will give you instructions for printing up and folding your very own pocket mod for free. You can't beat free. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it. See, you've got me flustered now. You suck. Don't forget to check out the free games I have available on my free games page. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio. I promise. NerdPrideRadio.com. And I promise I will actually respond to you. Find me on Twitter, where my handle is @NerdPrideRadio. Check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/NerdPrideRadio. But to be totally honest with you, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at NerdPrideRadio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together, we'll be best friends in the world, except of course for my son Aiden here, who is the only son who has remained with me this whole time.
I love you too.
We'll have fun. Oh, thank God those credits are out of the way. Now it is time for Listener Betrayal. And before I start recording every podcast, I go out to, well, now, my forums and onto Facebook. I tell people I'm recording, and I give them a chance to contribute anything they want to this podcast. I'll read it off right here at the end as part of Listener Betrayal. So, let's go check out the internet and see what we got. On my website, it says, oh, it's from Eliahad. Eliahad says, I saw Darks and Mrs. Darks today. Oh, you lucky dog. And he agrees. It was awesome. And I highly recommend that if you have a chance to meet either or both of them, that it's totally worth it. Well, duh, of course it is. I love them.
Aren't we meeting one of them?
And Eliahad, yes. Because his next line, Eliahad says, can't wait for Gen Con. That's right. Because Eliahad and Aiden and I are going to go meet Darks there, and we're all going to hang out together. Mrs. Darks, sadly, will not be able to make it because someone has to take care of the children while he's off being irresponsible. I totally get it.
Irresponsible? Oh,
but
come on.
Will be epically awesome, as Eliahad says, and I completely agree. So, yeah, I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to this, dude. We're signed up. We're paid. Now all we got to do is get there and go. It's going to be so much fun. And even before that, to start off the whole Gen Con weekend, Eliahad shows up at my house. And then me and Eliahad and Aiden get to road trip all the way to Indy together. It'll be classic. Classic. It'll be just like road tripping in college, except, you know.
Two old guys and a little boy.
Ooh, that sounds bad when you say it like that. You're a man. You grow
two old guys and a teenage boy, all in a
you
man
grow,
together.
You grow facial hair faster than I do. You qualify as a man at this point. You're good.
And you qualify as half a man.
So. That's right. The next one on the website, Lucy. Lucy says, question for the kids. Uh-oh.
Hi.
We need to fetch your brothers for this one. No, don't yell. Let's pause it before we yell. Hold on. Okay. Lucy says, question for the kids. Who is the coolest character in The Hobbit?
I have no idea.
Gandalf.
All right. We got one vote for the wizard, from Noah. One I don't know from Eli. Aiden?
The dwarf that died. That guy.
Oh, yeah. Thorin Oakenshield?
No, the other dwarf that died. From the movies, who was in love with the elf.
Oh. Was that Feely or was that Keely? I can't remember which one it was. Okay.
That dead guy.
The one with the black hair.
Look, the coolest character in the Hobbit movies was Evangeline Lilly as Toriel, the elf, who wasn't even in the books, but who cares?
She
was pretty spectacular.
Like Legolas surfing down an orc on the stairs.
Right, exactly. But yeah, you know what? I loved all three movies. We had a great time, so can't complain. And then the next one, and this one doesn't say it's for the kids. Oh no, it is questions for the kids. But this, they won't even know this one. Do you think of Star Wars as 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3? Or do you think of them in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6?
4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3.
Ah.
Then 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, right.
Then why is Lucy's picture here?
Lucy has a picture of, I assume that's some type of invertebrate jellyfish. I don't know what her avatar is. But
deep sea blanket octopus? I don't know.
Right. It's something cool, whatever it is.
She'll probably correct us somewhere online.
The correct answer, though, is Star Wars is episodes 4, 5, and 6.
1, 2, and 3.
No. 4, 5, and 6.
Oh. I guess.
The really correct answer is, I think of them as Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. That's it. Okay. And then done. That was it for the forum version.
And then we have a couple on Facebook, don't we?
On Facebook. I got one from Nelly. Nelly says, what is the best Father's Day gift you have ever gotten, and the worst? And then she says, by the way, happy Father's Day. Oh, well, if you've listened to it this far, you know that I've had a happy Father's Day. It's been awesome. It just keeps getting better. We've really had a good time. But the best Father's Day gift I have ever gotten? I don't know. I get lots of really good gifts.
Well, your kids made you a father, so I guess that just started your whole Father's Day right there.
You know what? Early on, when Noah was very little.
How little?
He was old enough to draw, but not very coherently. Lisa had the four boys sit down, and each of them drew a picture of something they liked to do with Dad. And we wound up, she then took all four of their pictures and she put them in a sectional frame, and it was all crayon pictures, she put them in a sectional frame. So I'm guessing Noah would have been maybe 2 at the time, maybe 3. So if that's how old Noah was, then Eli would have been
4 or 5.
Yeah, would have been 4 or 5. You would have been 10, and Jacob 13. There you go.
Yeah, and 2, 2.5, 5, 3.
Yeah. So we wound up having all of those put together, and I still have that framed and hung up in my office because I absolutely love that thing.
Really? I don't remember. You should take a picture of it and like text it to me.
I should. Yeah, it's been 7 years. But I love that picture because one of them has someone actually drew polyhedral dice in there to show us playing Dungeons & Dragons. Someone drew a Pinewood Derby car from Cub Scouts. And I can't even remember what the other two were. But it was just cool stuff. And it's heartwarming. It's touching. And again, it was a crayon picture by four little kids. And it was awesome. So, because it came from the heart. And it was special. Still is. And so, I keep that up in my office. The worst Father's Day gift I've ever gotten
was his kids. Because that just started the whole Father's Day thing in the first place.
I have never gotten a bad Father's Day gift. I'm sorry. That's going to sound cheesy. Don't care.
Oh.
I love Father's Day. Dad. My wife is very good at helping kids pick out gifts for me. So, although, actually, one of the most interesting birthday gifts I ever got, and you can't really qualify this as worst because it was pointless and useless, but it was the time that Jacob went out and he saw green light bulbs in the store, and he decided that that would be the coolest thing because he would love to have green light bulbs in his room. So he, as a birthday gift, I think it was a birthday gift. It might have been Father's Day though. He bought me green light bulbs, and that was my gift. And so we put up 3 green light bulbs in the light fixture in our bedroom, and we had green light in our bedroom literally until they burned out. They were there for months until finally, when the last green light bulb finally burned out and we got to replace it and the room went back to white light, it was such a relief. But But every time we walked in and we saw green light bulbs, it was like, oh, yeah, Jacob picked that out. That was awesome. And so, yeah, even though it was trying, because, you know, we had to have green light in our room forever, even though it was trying and it was weird, it was something that he thought was super cool, and he was so proud of himself, and we agreed. It was awesome. And every time we saw it, it made us think of what a thoughtful kid he was, and it was sweet. So there are no bad gifts. There really aren't. Sarah Beth adds on, and she'll finish this out for us. She says, Happy Father's Day! Hey, of course. Of course, Happy Father's Day to your lovely husband. Can I also shout out a Happy Father's Day to everyone at NPR, to all of our NPR fathers and godfathers, NPR being, of course, Nerd Pride Radio, not that National Public thing, that piece of crap, copycats. Yes, shout out to all of them, especially DM Darks, Blue Devil, and Aliyah Had. Awesome. All great guys. And then she has to parenthetically say, her children's father and godfathers, respectively. Hope everyone had a great day. Thank you. That is very, very sweet. I hope everybody else out there had as good a Father's Day as I did, because it has been wonderful. And this podcast is really just the capper on it. We're finishing up, and it is pushing on 9:15 now at night. So I'll get this thing wrapped up, maybe even get it published before midnight. This is a great way to end the day. So very, very cool. Yes.
Speaking of Father's Day, Dad and audience, go look up the YouTube video, Dad Holes.
What?
Go look up Dad Holes. Just trust me on this.
Am I going to regret this?
No, it's great. It's Dad Holes.
Hold on. Let me find my controls here. Pause. Okay. That was terrible. That was, funny. It was, I knew I recognized the one guy, and it wasn't until the credits came up. It's Chris Wilde. Okay, I remember Chris Wilde when he was much younger and different, but okay, if you don't want me to give anything away, you can go watch Dad Holes right now, and specifically Dad Holes Day, because it's Father's Day, but these guys are Dad Holes. That's the whole point of it. It's two dudes, and they are bitter, angry dads, and funny, and some of it probably pretty misogynistic, I'm guessing so, but, you know, okay, I can see the humor in it, but, you know, watch at your own risk. My son shouldn't be allowed to recommend videos to you guys anymore. I'm so sorry about that. Anyway, hey, that's it. We're all done. Noah has taken off. Eli has taken off. So it's just us. Say goodnight, Aiden.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, there's Noah. And say goodnight, R2. All done.